welcome to another episode of Piecing It Together, the podcast where we take a look at a new movie and try to figure out what movies inspired it. And today on the show, we are sharing with you guys a conversation we had months ago, but it's one of those situations where the movie was just about to leave theaters, and so we just kind of put it in the can. And now it's out on VOD, and so we're sharing this conversation about Yesterday with you guys. This is, of course, the Danny Boyle movie where everybody forgets the Beatles ever existed, except for one man, and he passes off their songs as his own. And it's an all right movie. We'll get into it in the conversation. I have mixed feelings about this one, but we had a fun conversation, though, with newcomer to the show, James Anderson, and it was great having him on the show, and I'm glad to finally get this episode out. So if you haven't seen Yesterday yet, make sure to go watch it and then listen to this conversation. And before you do, I want to remind you to make sure you are subscribed to Piecing It Together on your podcast app of choice, and you can follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join the Facebook group Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces, where we continue the conversation about all the movies we talk about on the show. And if you enjoy the show, you can rate and review us on Apple Podcasts, 5 stars, or rate and review us on Podchaser. We're starting to get that whole thing set up. And yeah, that does it. Let's jump into this one. We've been holding it for a while, so let's just get to it, all right? All right, so we got with us someone new on the show today. We got James Anderson. How's it going, James?
It's going very well. Thank you so much for having me. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, absolutely. You are another podcaster, such as myself, and you've got a really cool podcast, Unabashedly Obsessed, and you had mentioned that, you know, you thought that this would be a cool movie to talk about once it came out. And I know we both had a little bit of trouble actually making it to the theater, but we finally did it. We did it. And we made it through. And here we are. We're going to talk.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was a scheduling. I was like, yeah, that should be fine. And then my wife's like, we have all this stuff. And I was like, oh, date night. So we made it work. via that. Actually, Unabashedly Obsessed is no more.
Really?
We ended like the last week of March.
Oh crap! I didn't know that.
It's totally cool because we have a new By the Minute podcast that my co-host and I, Aaron, are doing that we just started last week at the first week of July, where we're watching Newsies minute by minute. So it's the Newsies minute. and we're having a lot of fun with that. So yeah, we ended it because we were sort of reaching a point where we were like, this isn't fun to do. Really, we were turning into a movie watching podcast, and we were like, this podcast isn't a movie watching podcast. So let's end this podcast. And they're like, so what's up next? Movie watching podcast? Sounds good. You know, like it. So we just wanted to sort of be intentional about what our podcasts were about, and yeah, so we ended that. We ended it up sort of with a nice retrospective at the end, and then we took a little bit to get a buffer going on Newsies Minute, and yeah, we've just been going forward on that.
There you go.
I also have the sundry other. I have an actual play podcast that I do, and some other stuff that I've been doing too. So, podcasting is a wild and addictive thing.
So you have multiple shows. How do you juggle all that?
I tend to just drop all the balls on the floor and then scramble around on my hands and knees trying to pick them up. That's my
technique.
Sounds
like a plan.
Yeah,
that's the way to do things. I subscribe to your style of podcast planning.
it's a frantic and adrenaline filled series of. Feeling like you know, I'm behind on everything, but it's fun and we have a great time. Yeah. And this is
beautiful. Well, you know, before we start getting into some puzzle pieces for this movie Yesterday, you did, you know, suggest this one. I take it, are you a big Beatles fan?
I'm a big Beatles fan. I'm a big as you'll see with my puzzle pieces, I'm a big, here's the concept, how do you suppose that's going to work out? Fan, like I like sort of like a, you know, a movie where the poster with one sentence can be like, here's what this movie's about, and I'm like, oh, the implications of that are wild. is like my cup of tea. But yeah, I'm a huge, huge Beatles fan. So I knew I was going to see this regardless. And it's really nice that I was like, hey, all right, you mean I have to see this? Well, okay, I guess I'll twist my arm.
Yeah, no, I get that. I get that the idea of like the high concept film and you know, just really, really needing to know, like, what is going to happen here? Is this, are they going to explain this? Is it going to go somewhere? And you know, we'll get into it as we start getting into some puzzle pieces about whether or not this movie was successful in that, that concept that it has laid out. But, why don't we jump in with your first puzzle piece? What do you got?
I think I'm going to, throw a spanner into the works right at the top and do sort of a double puzzle piece here.
Okay.
I want to do both Big and Groundhog Day.
Okay.
The idea of the main character's life is going wildly off the rails in some sort of like sci-fi or sort of fantasy way, but literally everyone else around him is having a normal life and is just living their life. And he is flailing around trying to figure out what it is that he's supposed to do with this new situation in his life. I saw a lot of that. Big was the one that I went in being like, all right, probably if you can't think of anything else, I bet it'll be Big. But it's actually more like Groundhog Day because it was unexplained about why this was happening and what caused anything. Clearly something did. One of my few complaints about this movie was that I was like, clearly they had in mind something was happening, but they didn't tell us what it is. Like they, you know, the blackout and whatever, but like something happened just like in Groundhog Day. He woke up and then the world was changed for him and him alone. So I saw a lot of that, you know, every man finds himself the only one whose life is completely turned upside down, sort of movie, like Big or Groundhog Day.
Yeah, sure, absolutely. And I actually did have Big on my list as well. And I think Groundhog's Day is an even better example of the concept because, that's exactly what it is. It's that magical kind of movie where, you know, something weird is happening. Something is going to change this person's life. And, you know, you kind of just go along with this ride, this crazy ride that's like, you know, it's got so many implications for this character and how it's going to make that person grow and all that stuff. Yeah. And, I think, you know, I do wish we got into a little more of the whys and the hows and the, you know, and that what exactly it was. I think some of the most interesting parts of the movie and funniest parts of the movie are the bits that had to do with the actual concept, this whole world breaking concept. The idea that various other things are also forgotten, Coca-Cola and cigarettes. And, you know, that those were such good bits, good jokes. I wish there was more of that.
I agree. It's hard because I agree. And my co-host, Aaron, really, if something isn't explained, she really needs like the world to be completely immersive. Actually, I didn't write this down as a puzzle piece, but like all my favorite Stephen King stories are this exact concept too. Normal world, normal life, one weird thing, and how does that affect everyone's life? But I am fine not knowing about it. I'm sort of fine with it sort of being like, these, you know, Coca-Cola doesn't exist, Harry Potter doesn't exist. What is that, you know, like, how does that affect, like, it sort of gives me a lot to think about in sort of like almost like a yesterday fan fiction sort of way. Like, God, what else could not exist? What are the implications of Coca-Cola not existing and stuff like that? And then I started getting into like, well, what about that Beatles song where John Lennon talks about wanting a cigarette? I mean, that's like double gone, right? Like...
That's a good question. Well, that also brings up if Oasis is gone, did he perform the song in high school?
Yeah,
that
I mean,
she fell in love with him because of.
Right. Yeah. I have to imagine he performed a Blur song, and you know, and I guess that's just what we have to go with.
I really, really hope Danny Boyle and everyone else involved in the making of this thought of these things, at least. Even if they didn't put it in the movie, at least it was going through their mind at some point. If not, that's crazy. That's crazy lazy if they didn't.
I agree. I think if the world exists and you don't talk about it, I think I'm fine with that. Just that you've thought about it is enough for me.
Exactly. So I'm going to go with my first puzzle piece, and that is the movie Once, about Glenn Hansard and I can never say her name properly, the girl from the Swell season.
Yeah.
I could tell you know who I'm talking about, though. And I mean... it's a great movie. It's a great combination of a music making movie while also being just a great, you know, epic romance type of with lots of really sweet romantic parts and like a great little love story that's mixed in with the music making parts. And I definitely didn't see that coming going into the movie. You know, I thought it was going to focus more on the whole Beatles aspect.
Right.
But this at its core, though, is almost more of the romance than anything else.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. It's sort of like when I saw Lily James on screen, I was like, Oh, okay. All right. I figured this game out on Baby Driver, so I got where we're going. We're fine. Lily James is on screen, got it. Understood. Loud and clear, Danny Boyle.
I mean, you kinda can't blame him though.
I actually had to walk back my concept of what the plot was. Because I was like, oh, it's his girlfriend, got it. And then no, it's just his manager. I was like, wait, I mean, like, I think that's sort of the point, is that you're supposed to be like, wait, what?
Right.
That, wait, what? Like that she's clearly into him. Like it's such a, like, everyone else sees it except for him. And even he sees it a little bit. And I think he's just sort of in denial, but like, it was funny. Cause I was like, oh, it's his girlfriend. Cool. Oh, okay. Well, that's not. Weird. Okay.
Yeah, it's interesting that they would take a high concept Beatles movie and turn it into a friend zone movie. Like, it's such an interesting dynamic.
Yeah. Yeah.
I didn't see that coming. Not at all.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
That does segue nicely into another piece for me, though. If that's
sure.
If I could introduce you in another piece.
Absolutely.
I saw a lot of When Harry Met Sally in it.
Okay.
Sort of a long, I mean, like, they didn't do the, like, epic, you know, here's them throughout the years thing that When Harry Met Sally did, but, like, it was definitely an idea of, like, yeah, they've been together, using air quotes, for a long time, but they haven't ever been together. And the sort of, and then like the frantic run to the train station and like all of the sort of, I guess I sort of, it turns out my subconscious pours all of my rom-com tropes into When Harry Met Sally. The indicator points to When Harry Met Sally when I think of like the wake up, you realize you love her and you want to tell her as soon as possible sort of deal is very When Harry Met Sally to me. I would like also to point out that it occurred to me that there was a Ticket to Ride reference going on with like the train and like I like that all of the subtle Beatles and Beatles solo stuff that they referred to without referring to it. I thought that was really cool.
But sure.
I think When Harry Met Sally is definitely being at least referred to. I don't know if that's just because it's a rom-com or at least it has elements of that. And that's just what you have. Like anything is going to feel like that if you're having this be the genre. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I was gonna say that exact thing, is that it's such like you know, the standard almost, you know it's almost like the standard when it comes to rom-coms, that it would rub off, I think, on almost any rom-com nowadays. But it is a perfect comparison, though. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I'm gonna go with another puzzle piece then, and kind of continuing down this path of romantic films, and also continuing down the Beatles path, I'm going to talk about the 2007 film Across the Universe, which was this.
I had that one
grand,
as well.
Yeah, I mean, come on. It's. I mean, I think that anyone is going to talk about this one when talking about this movie. I mean, combining a big, grand, epic romance with Beatles music, it's just setting any movie to Beatles music, you know?
Yeah.
And even really, I mean, we just did an episode on the Elton John biopic, Rocket Man, and, you know, that being a big larger-than-life, you know, setting the story to the music kind of a movie, you know, we used it as a puzzle piece for that one as well. And I think it was a really fun movie back when it came out, and it's very inventive the way it does it, almost like a... almost like just like a big musical without it being, you know, necessarily a, you know, a music biopic, more so using the music to help tell the story.
Yeah. Yeah. I agree. I think anytime you're going to have, like when the Eleanor Rigby, when he was trying to figure out Eleanor Rigby, which was hilarious, and they kept going to what amounted to like a music video of Eleanor Rigby with like Father McKenzie, and like it went, back and back and back to him as he tried to get it. Anytime you're going to illustrate the Beatles songs as they're playing, I'm going to think of Across the Universe. Like, and when you get to things like, you know, like anytime it does, you're not performing in a concert and you're showing some life happening with Beatles songs in the background, you're going to get me to Across the Universe right away.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. And you know, and I don't want to
I think there's only one movie that is more of a of course reference in this movie, and that's A Hard Day's Night. I mean that almost doesn't bear like you don't it almost doesn't bear mentioning because it's like, yeah, of course. Like anyone who goes in here not expecting there to be a he runs from a crowd of screaming fans scene doesn't know what's going on with Beatles movies at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, I'm trying to remember if I ever actually sat down and watched A Hard Day's Night. I mean, there's so many like moments that like are kind of seared into pop culture, but it's like,
yeah,
but I don't remember if I ever, I probably did when I was a kid at some point, you know?
It's a very good, like if you're watching like John Lennon's love of the Marx Brothers is like blaring so loud during that movie. Like almost as loud as their love of James Bond movies in Help, but like there are scenes where it's just like, hey, here's some extended wordplay. Oh, back to the music. Like it's literally just like, you know, it's sort of vaudevillian in its like, we're doing music. Now here's a bit with some old man. You know, like it's very. I felt like it's very John Lennon driven, but yeah. I think it's good to see as a kid if you're the type of kid where your parents are showing you like Duck Soup and stuff like that.
Sure. Right on. Well, I was going to say before I go on to my next puzzle piece, I was just thinking about what you were talking about where like with Across the Universe, how, you know, anytime that scenes are unfolding that aren't concert scenes but are set to Beatles music, you're still going to think of you know, you're going to think of a movie like Across the Universe and how there's like those little Easter egg moments where you're seeing things that are referenced in songs and stuff like that. I was telling a friend who asked me how this movie was, and I basically said, you know, it was all right. It's a hard movie to hate, but it's, you know, it's kind of just slight, you know? The thing is I really wish there was more of that. And, you know, I think that's going to be a common refrain for me through this whole episode is I wish there was more of the good stuff and less of the just plain old rom-com stuff. I love those Beatles references are so inventive and cool. And if it was only more of that, I think I would have really loved this movie, you know?
Well, and like there are some subtle ones, dude. Like it was only because a couple days prior I had been bored at work. So I listened to the White Album and sort of followed along in the recording process of the thing as I listened to the album, as just a thing to add one more thing to my attention span, whatever, that I saw what a Helter Skelter slide looks like. So I knew that they, at the end, they take their kids down the Helter Skelter slide. They didn't reference it. They didn't show the sign that says Helter Skelter. You just have to know that that slide they go down is the Helter Skelter slide to know that is that that's a Beatles reference too. Like, I was like, ooh, that is a deep cut. I mean, Helter Skelter is a deep cut, but like that it's this slide and we're not going to say anything about it. Just if you know, you know, then you'll get it. Also, like when he tells Rocky to let him in, that's almost positively an intentional Paul McCartney reference, because Paul McCartney had this song called Let Him In and stuff. So like, I think that the Beatles references, I think that Danny Boyle layered them in terms of like, yeah, there's some stuff that you're going to get if you're a casual Beatles fan, on down to there's some stuff like naming the character Rocky, like Rocky Raccoon, is more of a, like, I think there's sort of like, almost like, you know, belt levels of like, oh, okay, I see that you got that reference. Cool. All right. Well, you know, that sort of thing.
Interesting. Well, now I think that the Blu-ray is going to need like a VH1 pop-up. What was it called? With the little
pop-up
little
video.
Bubbles pop-up video. Yeah, that's what we need.
Do you mean my middle school education? That is, I learned. I always say I learned more from pop-up video than I did from seventh grade by far.
That was the best. That was absolutely so great.
It was, and now that's all I want. So thank you for. If they don't have that, my expectations are dashed on the ground. So, you know.
Yeah, now we're gonna
write a letter,
like,
I guess.
Pissed.
I mean.
Oh boy, I'm cool. Definitely gonna have to send a message in and try to get this to happen. Well, I will go with my next puzzle piece then. It is another music movie, and another music movie where the musicians are given amazing powers because of magic. And this might be a little bit of a far-fetched one, a little bit of an out there one, but it's Tenacious D and the Pick of Destiny.
That's awesome. So what an amazing puzzle piece.
In that movie, they are looking for this pick that was forged from Satan's horn, and it gives them the ability to rock harder than anyone's ever rocked before. And this movie, we've got a different kind of magic, a little bit of a more pure magic, but still there's magic in place that allows this struggling musician to become the world's greatest songwriter. So
I love how you can't summarize a Tenacious D movie without starting to talk like Jack Black. It's impossible.
Yeah.
You can't say what a Tenacious D movie is like and not start to sound like JB. It's so funny.
I did just do that, didn't I?
You did. You're like, and learn how to rock. I was like, oh, okay. Yep.
I might have to put some reverb and delay on my voice or something.
You have to. I also, sort of piggybacking on this, it wasn't a puzzle piece so much as sort of a vibe I got, and I don't think it's just because of the accents, but like I definitely got like a Flight of the Conchords feel from especially like the early part of the movie, like, you know, where there was sort of like hyperbolically bad crowds and stuff. And like sort of a stoic, understated, like, yeah, thanks. sort of vibe. I definitely got like a Flight of the Conchords feel, which I sort of think I put in the same bucket as Tenacious D. So yeah, definitely.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, it definitely had a little bit of that kind of a feeling, and plus it's British humor, so you know.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right, what do you got for your next puzzle piece?
Okay, I'm gonna really quick take a moment to cross off what I think doesn't count as a puzzle piece, and then I'll get into an actual puzzle piece. I didn't realize that Richard Curtis also wrote Notting Hill, so I had Notting Hill and Love Actually as puzzle pieces, but they don't count. I don't think that, I mean, unless you're like a person's own stuff counts as an influence, I feel like I'm not sure if it counts.
It's a bit of a gray area on the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm not counting it, but Notting Hill, Love Actually, and About Time all have some things that I saw throughout the course of this movie.
Sure.
But instead, what I'd like to talk about is the second vignette in the 1994 Simpsons Treehouse of Horror, Treehouse of Horror 5, which was a vignette called Time and Punishment. In it, Homer makes a toaster that time travels, and he keeps killing animals and sending himself into alternate timelines. And what I was specifically reminded of is there's one time when he he shows up and his family is rich and they live in a gigantic house. And he sits down. He's like, this is great. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Everything's great. And he says, Marge, please pass me a donut. And she says, what are donuts? And he runs screaming from the room. And of course, then it starts to, and oh no, it looks like rain and it's raining donuts. So the repeated gag of, oh yeah, such and such. What's a cigarette? What's Coca-Cola? That I couldn't help but think of that one specific joke in that Simpsons vignette. And I think it counts as a piece because they played it the same. Like to go to Google and be like, oh God, I just love that recurring gag. But like it, like what is this? As in like an essential thing that's missing from the world. I definitely felt that Simpsons episode. Yeah.
That's fantastic. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought of that. And I loved that episode. Like, you know, it was such a great episode. But yeah, absolutely. The way that it the way it plays with time is the exact same kind of way, you know?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And like how you know, like my wife actually reached a point where she was like, James, I don't know, they didn't explore that. But I was like, well, so is there something else that's in place of Coke? Is there like does the lack of cigarettes mean that Virginia didn't? I live in Virginia, so I was like, that tobacco wasn't a cash crop? What are the implications of these things? She's like, she eventually was like, I don't know. I just don't know, James. And I was like, okay, fair. That's fair. But like the implications of like, what are donuts? And that being like, oh God, like, I feel the same way about like, what are the Beatles? So like, I definitely felt that.
See, and now I'm going back to what I said earlier. I want to know what else is missing in this world. That's
right. Oh man, yeah.
So interesting.
Exactly.
So damn interesting. But no, that's a great puzzle piece. And you know what? I might as well just leave on the list About Time, Notting Hill, and Love Actually, because I mean, yeah. Sometimes we do look at the writers' other films or directors' other films. And absolutely, there's little bits and pieces of each within it. And so I think it's an interesting combination of elements from a lot of those movies.
And to credit my own super ignorance, I had Notting Hill, and I looked up today. I was like, I bet that's the same guy, because there's no way what I saw was the friend group that was there but not explored. They were just there, and you were supposed to be like, oh yeah, his best friend group. Yeah, that's just the thing that's there already. Felt very Notting Hill to me.
Sure.
And then I discovered, and I was like, oh well, okay, because that's just what that's just how he writes friend groups. Got it. And you see the same thing in Love Actually too, where it's like, oh yeah, these are established friends. We know they're friends because they're hanging out and acting like friends. That's how we know they're friends. Why else would they be hanging out? About Time was like, I mean, like that's another like magic realism sort of deal too. But
sure. Yeah, romance set against magic, mm-hmm. basically. Yeah, absolutely. All right, well, my next puzzle piece is another, I just jokingly referred to this movie earlier as, you know, it's kind of slight, it's kind of nothing, but at the same time, it's hard to not like because it's quite enjoyable, you know? And another movie that I would kind of put in that vein, despite being an Oscar winner and a big, huge, beloved movie, is Forrest Gump. And that is my next puzzle piece. And I never really liked Forrest Gump that much. I always just thought it was like super bland, but it's got a lot of that same feeling of just like tugging at the heartstrings, the nostalgia, they're just like feeding you like chicken noodle soup. You know what I mean? Like just giving you something that is like just so simple to digest and so easy to like. And it's so hard to imagine somebody like straight up like not liking this movie, you know? And I think it's kind of, it kind of gets that same feeling. And some of the things that I've been complaining about through the episode, I think if it did some of those things, it might maybe go too far for some audiences, but at the same time I would like it more. But this is more of the safer, it's safe, you know, it's safe and it's fun, and I think it's like perfectly made for like a general audience type of situation.
They're like, it's like a circus, they're both like circus barker movies, like step right up, you're gonna see a guy play Beatles songs. Will he play Let It Be? Oh, yeah, he'll play Let It Be. He'll step right up. You're going to see
right
a guy
will.
Throughout history. You know, like Forrest Gump. Will he interact with John F. Kennedy? Yeah, he will. Absolutely. Take a seat. You know, like, yeah, it's sort of like, what are the easiest things that we can do to evoke nostalgia in people?
Yes,
and let's make
exactly.
sure they're in the movie.
Yeah, they're gonna think they loved it, whether they actually liked it or not. It's just they recognized it, so they're gonna be happy. You know,
exactly. If you put the year up on the screen at New Year's, everyone's gonna get nostalgic. I know I do.
What was that There was a Family Guy bit where they're at like a nursing home, and there was like a comedian or something. He was saying things like from the old days, and the old guy in the front row goes, "I know these things, so I enjoy this." Like,
absolutely, yeah. That's it. That's what it is. Exactly.
Yeah.
No. Yeah.
All right. What do you got for your next puzzle piece?
All right. Okay. It's going to be important that we talk about this. So my next puzzle piece is a book.
Okay.
It's called Replay, and it's by Ken Grimwood. Do you know this book at all?
No, I have not heard of it.
I randomly found it at a Borders one time, and now I've read it like 7 times because it was like, oh, this is great. I'll just start this over again. So the basic concept is this guy has a heart attack and dies, and he wakes up, and he's himself at 18, but he has all the knowledge that he had up until the point he died. So he lives his life. He can make whatever decisions he wants to make, and it affects his life in whatever ways it would have. And then he goes up, and he dies right before, like a little bit. He dies at the same point in his at an old age, and then he wakes up and he's like 21. And so it goes, he keeps on going around and around and around, starting later and later and later. And the part of the book that reminded me of this was those two people, the Russian guy and the old British lady, who recognized the stuff that he was doing. There's a point in the book where he tries all sorts of strategies, from like trying to prevent the Vietnam War to like trying to make it as rich as possible. And during one of his playthroughs, he reads in the paper or in the trades or whatever that someone is putting out this book putting out this movie in like 1973 that has elements of like Jaws and E.T. and Star Wars and Back to the Future and all these things. And he's like,
yeah,
wait a minute. That's how he finds the love interest in the book, is they're both doing this replay thing. And they have to keep like waking up at different times in their lives and like finding each other and stuff. But that recognition, like that I kind of got goosebumps during the movie, especially during the Russian guys, when he was just sort of staring at the stage. I got goosebumps, and I'm kind of getting them now too. The idea that you're alone in this thing where you're the only one that remembers it, and then the dramatic irony of, oh no, there's this guy that remembers it too. Oh no, there's this girl that remembers it too. Is very much like, now there's three of you, but like, my wife's favorite part of the movie was that they weren't mad at him. That they were like, thank you for doing this. And I know, and like, it was a big tension relief for me too, because I thought, I didn't know what they were going to do, but it felt like it was going to be violent and whatever, but like, they were just, you know, like, but the idea that you're no longer alone, that no one knows what's going on, but you are all three of it in it together and sort of just trying to figure it out, is what reminded me of that book Replay. And also that book Replay
nice.
Is awesome.
Right on. Yeah, and I agree with your wife. That is my favorite part of the movie too. I love that they subvert your expectations, and you think it's going to be either violent, or they're going to extort him, or you know, something. And it goes for a really sweet direction. I really liked what they did there. And as you were describing Replay, I cannot believe this is not a movie. How has this not been adapted into a movie?
I think they did, but I think it was like a sci-fi channel made for TV sort of deal.
Wow, that could be a big movie if they did it right.
No, I know, right? It's yeah. such a cool concept. Like, I think it's the only book I've ever gotten to the end of, closed it, opened it back up, and started it over immediately, because it's so cyclical that it feels like it's like an album that has a great opening and closing, and you're just like, well, I have to listen to it again, but it's in a book. It's such a good book. Yeah. I agree. It could be a great movie. Dear Danny
That's
Boyle.
Awesome. Yeah. Yeah, let's get you to do some of the better parts of what you did here and take it there. So I only have one more puzzle piece, and it's in some ways it's kind of a little bit of a cheat, I think, but I'm going to mention it anyway, and it is the Queen biopic from last year, Bohemian Rhapsody. And obviously it's probably too new to truly be an inspiration. I'm sure this movie was in development long before that came out. However, I do think that just like we've got this Bruce Springsteen Blinded by the Light movie coming out, supposedly there's biopics on like a dozen, you know, famous musicians coming out. I think that the success of Bohemian Rhapsody has really kickstarted a huge run to get these movies made. And I don't know exactly where in the production process they were when that movie came out last year, but wherever it was, I'm sure, boom, they just flooded them with more money and said, get this thing done. We need this movie, you know? And so I think more so on a business side of things, I think it was definitely an inspiration. But again, kind of like what I was talking about with Forrest Gump, I also was not a big fan of Bohemian Rhapsody. And I think it plays things way too safe, you know? And I think that this comes from that same kind of a place of wanting to just be an audience crowd pleaser, and so in a way, creatively, I also do think it's an inspiration, or at least comes from a similar place.
Yeah, I haven't read it yet, but I have a billboard where the cover story was that like biopics are where like musicians are getting, instead of like touring, they're like re-upping their sales on like biopics and then like releasing.
Oh, wow.
Soundtracks that has their like I was like, wow, this is a wild cover story. And then I thought about it and I was like, no, that this is correct. This is an accurate cover story. But yeah, like I think that they talked about Bohemian Rhapsody and Rocket Man, and I'm sure this was included too, because this isn't a biopic, but like it's the same. I mean, like,
yeah,
it's similar, at least in that, like, I'm sure that it will cause people to go out and buy more Beatles albums. If they don't
Oh yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah, I actually I of course, I mean, who doesn't like the Beatles, but I mean, I've never been like someone who listens to them regularly. And this movie I've been singing their songs like, you know, all week since I saw it, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah, exactly.
I wouldn't be surprised if I'm listening by tomorrow probably. So.
Totally.
So, do you have any more puzzle pieces?
I have two more.
Okay.
I have Back to the Future.
Nice.
Specifically the Enchantment Under the Sea dance where Marty plays Johnny B. Goode too early. The idea of you guys aren't ready for this, but your kids are going to love it was very much present, especially when he realized that no one knew who the Beatles were, but he hadn't found an avenue yet, aka the internet, to release this music to a crowd that would appreciate it. Uh-huh. Like I definitely like got like, oh, come on, come on. This is, I want to hold your hand. Anyone? Like, and just like the also the idea of getting like, just so wrapped up in like, I know this song and I'm the only one and I am rocking this, is in there too a little bit.
Sure. That's an absolutely great one. I love it. That's a great puzzle piece.
And then I guess there's also, it also contains sort of a, all right, I guess I need to figure out the rules of this world that I found myself in that no one else has found themselves in. And then the last one I had was That Thing You Do, which is also a Tom Hanks movie with the Air Force. Sort of the concept of a world where the Beatles aren't as big as, like, aren't the biggest thing. Like, That Thing You Do always bugged me, because, like, there's one reference to the Beatles, but, like, it takes place in 1964, and, like, no one talks about the Beatles to the point of you're supposed to, I think that maybe the Wonders are like a stand-in, like what if the Beatles were from Pennsylvania sort of deal.
Right.
And I think that they have that line. There's a line where a DJ is like, oh, no, that, not that Mop Top Quartet or whatever, in the same sort of way that in when like Law and Order is like based on true events. And then in the event in the show, they'll be like, what you mean like, and name the famous person they're basing this episode on. And they're like, yeah but different slightly. And you're like, oh, okay, that's where the lawyers made them put that line in about we're not, this is not based on actual. Yeah. But yeah, that thing you do also like a quick rise to the top, 60s nostalgia, all sorts of like performances and people going crazy for music and family, his guy's family and that thing you do being sort of like, yeah, I guess you're doing what now? Music, I guess. I saw parallel in this too a little bit.
Sure. I haven't seen that movie since the theater.
Oh, really?
It's been a long time since I saw That Thing You Do. Yeah. Does it hold up?
I am the worst person to ask if something holds up because I hold things so close to me. I love That Thing You Do with a passion that isn't embarrassing only because I'm too busy loving That Thing You Do. I really love it a lot. I think that it's great from a musical standpoint as well as from like a joke standpoint. Sure. I think you really have to like Steve Zahn a lot though. if you do, then I think you're going to be fine. But like, yeah, I mean, I love it. It's up there in the upper echelons of my favorite movies. But
nice.
I could totally see someone not liking it also. Like, right. It's not one where I'm like, come on, this is universal. I'm like, I could get someone being like, this is baby boomer pandering, like, weren't the 60s great sort of stuff. There's a randomly thrown in magical black man in it and stuff. So like, I get it.
Yeah.
But also, that one's been with me since I was getting, you know, when I was at that magical age where everything was awesome and like,
sure,
I was, everything I saw or heard became my lifelong favorite, whatever. Yeah. So, so I am the worst person to ask about that, but I think so.
Nice.
I've watched it recently and liked it a lot. So yeah.
I love it. That's awesome. Right on. Well, I'm going to go ahead and do the finish puzzle and list off all the movies we just talked about, and then we'll get into our closing thoughts about yesterday. So Absolutely. We have got Big, Groundhog Day, Once, When Harry Met Sally, Across the Universe, A Hard Day's Night, Tenacious D and The Pick of Destiny, About Time, Notting Hill, and Love Actually, The Time and Punishment Treehouse of Horrors episode of The Simpsons, Forrest Gump, Replay, The Book, Bohemian Rhapsody, Back to the Future, and That Thing You Do. Great list of movies. A lot of music stuff, obviously, but a lot of magical type, you know, magic comedies, you know, magic epic type movies. You got any, you know, any other thoughts about yesterday?
I think that it was a bold swing. I've been really spoilery about this, but here's where I'm going to say spoiler alert. I thought it was a huge, bold swing to have old John Lennon. I think that I thought it worked because I was completely convinced that it was going to be a Paul McCartney cameo.
Yes, me too.
And so
absolutely.
When he opened the door and it was John Lennon, and I was like, and all the implications hit me like a tidal wave of John Lennon being alive.
Yeah.
I thought it really worked. I can totally see a critic being like, that was the most pandering, why did they do that moment of the whole movie? But I thought it was lovely, and I think they nailed John's voice in terms of like, you need serious psychiatric help, sort of like, you know, start dry wit and stuff. I thought they nailed it.
Sure.
I almost put Bubba Hotep on my list of puzzle pieces just because of like, what if Rockstar didn't die? I'm sure there's a better example. And so I crossed it off because I was like, yeah, but they didn't like verse mummies and stuff. I think that probably it doesn't count as much of a puzzle piece. I'm sure there's a better. I also thought of a Philip Roth book where it's possible that Anne Frank is still alive. It was sort of reminded me of that a little bit too, where it's like, what if this person who's famous for being alive or famous for dying, was not dead?
Sure.
And I got that sort of feeling from it too. But like, yeah, I thought that was a big swing. I thought it paid off, but like all big swings, I'm sure there are people that are going to be like, that was the worst part.
Yeah, I could completely understand any criticism of that, but I kind of agree with you. I kind of think it worked within what the movie was trying to do. You know, it if nothing else, it tied up at least the Beatles part of the movie, in a way where it's like, okay, I guess it's worthwhile that this all happens, like, oh, they got to live their life, but the songs still get to exist, And it's that's an interesting way of looking at it. And I think it's very troublesome, but I do agree with you that I think ultimately it works because it helps the movie be something more important, something more interesting anyway.
Yeah. My wife and I decided that I saw a tweet that was like, I wonder how Yesterday deals with the Manson murders. And that's funny, but also my wife and I talked about it on the way home. We decided that the Manson murders happened and they just pinned it on some other musicians of the time.
Nice.
And that it, like, because the Beatles, like, I was like, because if the Beatles not existing means that people didn't get murdered, then we sacrificed the Beatles. And I think the Beatles would agree with that. But my wife is like, yeah, but I mean, I don't know that we can say that. So
see, now you're making me want the other version. Now you're making me want the other version of the movie where it focuses more on that stuff.
If I may recommend, I have a recommendation. Sorry.
Okay.
I'm gonna save it for the recommendation part. Is that now?
Yeah, you know what? That is now. Let's go for it.
Can I subvert the concept again and recommend a book?
Is that okay? Sure, absolutely. Yeah.
11/22/63 by Stephen King. The book. I can't stress this enough. The book. The Hulu show is also something that exists. And I can't stress that enough. The book is what I'm recommending. It's a fantastic Stephen King book, but it also explores what preventing things in history, like preventing tragedies, the implications of that, and sort of living life in history. And how you don't necessarily like the concept of like, if I could time travel, I would kill Hitler or I would prevent the assassination of JFK, just as another random example. Would that be helpful, or would it be more helpful for you to like live the life that you have and that you've seen? So I'm going to recommend 11/22/63 by Stephen King. It's a giant book, but I think it's very much worth it.
Interesting. Yeah. Now I haven't heard much about it.
I think everyone that I've recommended it to, Stephen King fan or not, has been like, yes, this is worth it. This is a great book. So that's just
right on.
I don't know if that means that I'm a great recommender. It probably does, but
I enjoyed the recommendation for sure. That was very good.
Cool.
I liked it.
Cool.
So, you know what, before we get to you plugging your podcast and closing this thing up, I do want to ask you a question, a little bit of a what if. In a Yesterday style scenario.
Yeah.
What band would you have liked to wake up and they don't exist but you know all their songs?
Poof. Man, I mean what's funny is I really felt that lady that was like, we don't know any of the songs, we don't know any of the words, Eleanor Rigby, I think it, I mean, it has to come down to either Blink-182 or Smashing Pumpkins. Mm. I think probably, I think probably Blink-182, I guess, by a nose. It'd be really close though. I'm not sure how great, that would be an interesting movie to try and make people care about it, though.
Well, also the question is then, are you Tom DeLonge or are you Mark Hoppus?
Mark Hoppus, 100% all the time, no hesitation. Yeah, I mean, like, I think that you could also say something like, maybe like, I don't. But see, like, I know. I was going to say someone like the Supremes or something. But, like, one, I do not know all the Supremes songs. And it is hubris of me to even imply that. Two, no one wants me, big white boy, to try and, like, recreate the career of the Supremes. And I think everyone would be fine with me trying to do some, like, Billy Corgan or, like, Blink-182 stuff. I think everyone would be fine with that. So I think that has to be... Let's go with Blink-182 just because I think a little bit more. But yeah, good question.
Blink-182 is a good answer, but I do still want to see the Supremes version of that of that play out. So
you'd call it "My World Is Empty Without You," and I think that it would bomb. It would be very bad.
Oh,
can't stress
man.
It enough. Please don't make this movie with me in it.
So where can we find your podcast?
So my main podcast right now is called Newsies Minute, and it is at Newsies Minute. My best friend in the whole wide world, Aaron, and I are going through the movie Newsies 1 minute at a time every weekday from now until we're done. The first 5 episodes just came out last week, so I'm not sure when this is going to air, but... probably new episodes will be coming out because they're going to be coming out for a while. We're having a really good time. And also, episodes are between 10 and 20 minutes long. So it's not going to be like a big slog every day or whatever. I was actually realizing Unabashedly Obsessed episodes were about that same length only once a week. These are 5 times a week, but like the same amount of cumulative time. I'm also on a podcast called Bike Brigade, formerly known as the Kids on Bikes podcast. We're playing this role-playing game called Kids on Bikes, which is sort of like a Stranger Things, E.T., Goonies sort of vibe to it.
Oh, nice, nice.
Our game is set in the 60s in Swampscott, Massachusetts, and it's been really, really fun. We're just ramping up on our third arc of that. We started that last October. I actually have a Blink-182 podcast called Blink and You'll Miss It. Last year, I went through, once again, every weekday, a song by Blink-182 or Boxcar Racer or Plus 44, which are 2 side projects of Blink-182, alphabetically. And those episodes were no more than 5 minutes long. So I went through the entire existing discography for those 3 bands. Season 2 is ramping up. Basically, when the new Blink album comes out in September, I'm going to release season 2 as quickly as possible to that. And that tends to be a pretty good time. They're really quick, bingeable episodes. And that is, Kids on Bikes is at Kids on Bikes. Blink and You Miss It is at Blink226 Racer, which is Plus 44, 182 Plus 44 Racer. So those are what I have, right now. I'm also guests on lots of things. And I have like an alternative songs countdown show that I don't really advertise because it's not technically legal, but if you follow me on at Unabashed James, which is my Twitter handle, I retweet when I release episodes of that, so you can follow that and sort of get on the secret train of that that I don't advertise at all because, once again, couldn't be more illegal. So yeah.
beautiful. Well, cool. Right on, James. It was great having you here, and I'm glad we managed to see this movie and talk about it.
Absolutely. It was so fun to be on here. Thank you so much for having me. I love the concept of this show so much, and I'm really excited to be on it. So thank you so much.
Hi, this is Wax Trax Records here on 2909 South Decatur. We buy all your old 45s, your old albums, any type of music memorabilia. Also, we sell music memorabilia, albums, CDs, and a lot. Come on down to Wax Trax, 2909 South Decatur, or give me a call at 702-362-4300. Thank you very much.
All right, I hope you enjoyed that conversation about Yesterday, and that Wax Trax ad was in place of a podcast ad because my family store, Wax Trax Records, has some of the best Beatles stuff you can find really anywhere in the world. It's an amazing shop if you've never been. You should come visit next time you're here in Las Vegas. Some of the Beatles memorabilia we have, it's just crazy. And if you're a Beatles fanatic, you are going to want to check this stuff out. So, yeah, that does it for today. I want to thank you all who have been listening. You know, September was an incredible month for the podcast between the article that came out on us and just all of the new listeners we got and all the new co-hosts we had. I mean, this one included, I think, was the 7th in a row of new podcast co-hosts, which is just fantastic because, you know, I love having my usuals on, but it's great to have new people on the show as well. And so I'm just so happy that people are enjoying the show and we continue to, get to do it and get to keep making it bigger and better and just, you know, keep finding new ways to make it exciting. And we have lots of new stuff planned. So make sure you're subscribed. That's a good transition into the whole subscription thing. Follow us on social media at Piecing Pod. Join our Facebook group, Popcorn and Puzzle Pieces. Go to our website, piecingpod.com, and sign up for the mailing list. And what else? Oh, yeah, rate and review us on Apple Podcasts. That would be awesome. We have a Patreon. We're starting to get some new stuff on there really soon. And so it's going to be bonus content that's not on the main feed. Of course, all the main episodes will always be free. I mean, this is a podcast. I'm not trying to lock everything behind a paywall. That's ridiculous when podcasts do that. This is like a podcast. I don't want to be one of those. So we will have bonus content, though. And we've got some really cool ideas that we're planning on recording. And I think it's going to be a lot of fun. So keep an eye out for that on our Patreon. And that's enough stuff. Why don't we get to some music, as we always do on this show? And I was trying to think, with all my albums of music, do I have anything that's at all Beatles-esque? And I honestly couldn't think of anything. I don't think there's anything that's really in that realm. So I wanted to do something that's at least, you know, got a guitar in it. Harvey. That's Harvey back there shaking off. And actually, it's okay, Harvey, that you're shaking in the background of this recording, because the closest thing I could find of something of mine that is Beatles-esque would be a Pup-Pup song from our upcoming Pup-Pups album that's coming out real soon, with songs featuring Harvey singing, as well as his sister Sadie, and our cats are on there as well. And it's a very ridiculous novelty rock album, comedy rock thing that I'm putting out in a couple of months. And so why don't I play you guys a song from the Pup-Pups? This is a song called Waka Waka. And if you haven't been in my house or in my car, then you've never heard this before. So this is a premiere of Waka Waka from the Pup-Pups. It's not even really 100% finished, but it's close enough that I could play it. So enjoy Waka Waka, and we'll be back with another episode of Piecing It Together next week, and some of my regular music too.
and all points west.